Good morning. I hope you have a good day. I know that a lot of you must have gotten a little wet, but cab drivers look for a little wet weather. Talking to Charlie DiGiovanni, he said, I couldn't do anything wrong. He said, I'd drive down one corner, someone say, hey, cabbie, 139. You drive down the next corner, hey, 139. Everyone looked for a cab today. Well, you did a good job. This Lissel Fisher is as cool as you can get. I mean, we were listening to Jerry and Lissel and I were talking. And Lissel said, man, he gets excited. But not Lissel. Lissel and I were just talking. Lissel says, cool, have to play everything cool. Jerry Williams, see, you folks don't see him when he leaves here. He, like, jumped up on a pogo stick all the way down to his office getting his... I hope that it's... I mean, people think that it's an act. It's really not that way. John, did you know that? Did you ever see Jerry walk out? Hyperventilating. I mean... And Lissel there smoking his pipe. Yeah, hi. Did we lose half the country? Oh, went down the drain? Fine. what a contrast. Jerry jumps up and down. And Lissel says, well, we do what we can. As cool as a cucumber. And that's the way we have... I mean, we know that there's a serious problem going on, but we have to remain cool because if you get too excited, you don't know what's going on, right? I'm glad that Charlie had a good day, and I guess most of us had a good day, except for that situation over there. Tonight, we're going to have an interesting person. His name is Mark Roswell. And you might say to yourself, who is Mark Roswell? I'm going to tell you. Mark listens to us in Miami. He's the president of the Hurricane Flyers at the University of Miami flying team down in Coral Gables. And he wrote me this very nice letter. And they pick us up down there. And I'll just read this little letter. It said, in over 2 years of regular trips into the Bahama Out Islands, my crews and I, in parentheses, we operate a modest charter service, have encountered several unexplainable weather reactions and formations, as well as equipment failures in the aircraft's navigation system, the equipment that would pass with flying colors upon inspection at the destination. Some particularly frightening encounters by myself and other pilots, people expected to have better than average judgment and cool-headedness, have not been entertained by the Federal Aviation Agency. Though these encounters in much recently publicized Bermuda Triangle ridiculously bizarre to the casual reader, they remain unexplained and just as bizarre to the pilots who fly these waters. I hope to relate this experience in further correspondence. If this is to your interest, let me know. Cordially, Mark Roswell. So Mark will be on with us at 12:30. I read this earlier, and I checked with Eddie, and I said, Eddie, this would be a good call to make. It doesn't happen too often, but it happened to Bruce and Carolee Ownby, owners of the Bangle Tree Jewelry Shop in Bend, Oregon. A repentant burglar has returned over $7,000 in uninsured jewelry, enabling the owners to stay in business. And the burglar has promised to pay for $1,400 in jewelry already sold and for damage incurred during the break-in. Now, you don't bump into a guy like that. I'd like to get the story behind the story. Find out who this thief is. That would be a good call. And then we have one more, just kind of cute. It says a bank robber who apparently has a sense of humor escaped with $600 in cash from the downtown office of the First Federal Savings and Loan in Pittsburgh. Police say the robber handed a bank teller a withdrawal slip demanding cash. The slip was signed John Dillinger. He got the cash. I was saying to Lissel Fisher, I said, hey, Lissel, how do you relax as well as you do? He said, well, I read books on relaxation. I mean, he's cool. He never gets excited. I've never seen Lissel uptight. And I just saw this in the newspaper, how you can learn to relax. And I like everyone. A lot of people are uptight. So I'll just read these things. I won't go into detail, but it was written by Dr. Frank S. Caprio, who's a psychiatrist. And we interviewed him down in... First, I interviewed him in Washington, D.C., and then I think he's sort of semi-retired. He's down in Florida now, Miami. Some ways to relieve nervous tension. Now, if you were a little nervous, would you listen to this, please? Jerry, if you're going home, would you listen to this? Not if you're driving, Jerry. Take a daily nap. Some people think that only children need naps. No! A nap keeps a person from getting irritable and tense. Charlie takes a little nap in the cab once in a while when he's uptight. Do you think he keeps driving, pushing himself? No! Pulls over to the side of the road at the Boylston Tremont and takes a little nap. Keep telling yourself that you're relaxed. Oh, I feel so good. I feel so relaxed. Just tell yourself. Learn to forgive. Forgiving is a very wholesome and relaxing feeling. If you hate someone, it causes tension. You say, oh, I'd like to wrap that guy right in the... I'd like to really... And then you work yourself up, see? Hate causes tension. Don't hate. Forget this hate. Just relax. Learn to forgive. Pretend you're happy. Act happy and you'll grow into the role. Ha ha, I feel great. Oh, act happy. Smile a little bit. Smile a bit. I feel great. See, I feel happy. Learn to laugh more. Ha ha ha. Laughter does what tranquilizers cannot do for you. And this is good. Do not take yourself too seriously. Enjoy life. Do not take yourself too seriously because no one else does. It's surprising. No one else really takes anyone else too seriously except yourself. And that's your own opinion. And you're really not an expert. Don't take yourself too seriously. Keep in contact with everything. You know, isn't it funny? In broadcasting, many of us, when I was a kid in broadcasting, you think, if I'm not here, the station will collapse. Or if the person is the president of the country, they say, if I'm not here... Nothing collapses without anybody. I mean, everyone is expendable. It's an amazing thing. And the older you get, the more wisdom you get. That you can go, and then about a month later, they'll say, who? Sam who? The guy can be a star in his own opinion. In just a few weeks, everyone forgets because they're interested in themselves. So don't take yourself too seriously. And if you're gone, anybody goes. People in the short time say, who, what was his name? What did he do? How? They forget.
Muck.
That's good advice. Oh, it's you and Eddie said, hey, John. Eddie just said, Muck who? Oh, that's not nice, Eddie. Yeah. Muck, don't. Muck, there'll be no crying. You understand? Eddie said, Muck who?
I'm sorry, Muck.
That's okay. And keep in contact with everything that is serene, beautiful, and inspiring to you. That's good. Carry with you passages of poetry or quotations that move you. Life is good. Life is wonderful. To hell with politics. I'm quoting the Dr. Caprio. Jerry, do you hear that? Life is good. Life is wonderful. To hell with politics. And there's another and a better story tomorrow. You can't give away love. It always comes back. Thank you, Dr. Caprio. I think I'll save that. John just held up a sign. He said, who's Muck? You see how that works, Charlie? See that, Eddie? Oh, John Detroit, just 2 weeks, he says, who's Muck? Oh. Well, let me see. Let's do a little spot here. Charlie, anything else? Oh, Nella heard you talk to her, and she said that she was really nervous for you.
I heard her, Larry.
Yeah, oh, you did. I wonder what happened to that guy, whether he's really... Playing with just a few cards.
They probably took them back.
To the sales asylum.
Yeah.
Have to be careful. You know who gets in the cab, Charlie?
I trust everybody.
Right. Yeah. Well, all right. Just stay away from him, Charlie.
Right. Shalom, man.
Shalom, Charlie. We have this message, and then we'll take a call. What that even John said. Mark who?
Larry Glick, the popular WBZ personality and America's number one stage hypnotist, will again be featured in a fun evening this Saturday for one night only at Jimmy McGettrick's Beachcomber on Wollaston Beach Boulevard in Quincy. Now, in addition to the regular eight-act fun show, Larry provides an additional 90 minutes of excitement. Interested in quitting smoking? Well, Larry will show you how to stop. Would you like to know how it feels to win $10,000 in a horse race? Just step on stage. Larry will show you. Or perhaps you'd like to imagine yourself as the world's greatest dancer. Now, Larry Glick will show you how to be that, too. That's this Saturday at the Beachcomber, Wollaston Beach Boulevard in Quincy. Larry is a proven favorite there, and that's why he goes back again and again with this outstanding hypnosis demonstration. So advance reservations are suggested. For fun with Larry Glick at the Beachcomber, reserve now by phoning 479-8989. The number again is 479-8989.
Okay, John Detroit, let's take our first call. See, we have our numbers 254-5678. Area code 617. Hello? Hello, if you can hear me. Hello? Hello? Well, we'll give him our count of six, John, then we'll take another one.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Larry.
Hello?
How are you doing? Am I on the air?
You're on the air.
Oh, beautiful. Could you do me a favor?
No, no, you're too nice a guy.
No, I'm not nice. Stupid.
Who are you? Who are you?
Stupid.
Well, I guess I'll have to do it, John.
All right.
What a swell way to start a show. I mean, shoot him off the air. What is it, cuckoo? Just take another call, John. Hello?
Yes, is this WBZ?
Let me check. There's a sign here on the wall. Yes, yes, it is.
It is? Oh, yes, yes. I'm waiting to talk to Larry Glick.
Oh, what did you want to talk to him about?
What?
What did you want to talk to him about?
Oh, I just wanted to talk to him. I've been listening to his show for years. And
yes,
I've been trying to get him.
Do you enjoy the program?
Oh, yeah.
Where are you calling?
It's really something else.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Dearborn, Michigan.
Dearborn, Michigan. Okay. Well, what's your first name?
Hey, this sounds like Larry.
Let me check. It is.
Hey.
I make a joke. I'm pulling your leg. What's your first name?
My name's Jerry.
Hi, Jerry. Jerry. Okay, turn your radio off, Jerry. You're on the air. Turn your radio off.
Okay.
I won't fool you again, Jerry. I will not fool you again. You know, people keep calling to say, hello, is Larry there? See, it's a low-cost operation. I'm here, and I'm the only one that answers the phone.
Yeah.
There's nobody here to intercept calls.
Who was that other man that was on there?
That was Charlie DiGiovanni.
Oh, yeah, the cab driver?
Right. Cab 139.
Yeah, I heard about that festival you had for him last year.
Yes, that's right. Very good, Jerry.
Yeah.
What do you do there?
What do I do?
I'll ask you that again. I know it was a tough question. What do you do, Jerry?
Oh, me?
No, your sister, Helen. Of course you, Jerry. What do we have? How many people do we have on the line? Jerry.
Yes?
Jerry, how old are you?
Oh, I'm 17.
17. You have to pay attention now. We have to communicate. We have to have a dialogue. When I ask you a question, you have to answer. Come on, answer. Speak, Jerry. Speak. Come on,
okay.
Jerry.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you.
Go ahead, Jerry.
You play songs just before you
go get the news, right?
Yeah, right.
I'll help you, Jerry.
Could you do a request for me?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Oh, it's by Elton John.
Elton John?
Philadelphia Freedom.
Yes.
Philadelphia.
We have that. And will I play it for you? Yes, because you're a good kid and I like you. Yes, I will.
Oh, could I drop a name?
Oh, do you have to? Do you have to drop a name? No. Please don't. No, no. Well, okay, Jerry. I'll play that song for you. Keep listening, okay? So long, Jerry. Be a good kid.
Jobs are scarce. Massachusetts has the fourth highest unemployment rate in the country. Even college grads are having a tough time finding a good job. So without a high school diploma, you're sunk. Even if you get a job, chances are it'll be hard work and pay peanuts. So stay in school. Watch out for number one.
Good advice, Network Ned. If you've been window shopping lately, you know that men's suits, sport coats, and slacks are selling for $125 to $175 and even more. Then you begin to wonder how the Adams Warehouse, that miracle-working outlet in Boston's Leather District, can sell such fine clothing for men at such incredible prices. Here's how. A famous chain in New York closes its doors, a well-known manufacturer is overstocked, and Adams Warehouse buyers are there with an open checkbook to make those amazing buys. You'll find a tremendous selection, thousands of suits in all sizes and styles, including the latest leisure suits on sale at $19 to $79 and none higher. Thousands of sport coats, sale priced at $12 to $49, none higher. Thousands of pairs of slacks at $4 to $17 and none higher. Many with America's most famous labels. And there's a tremendous selection for big men at prices little men ordinarily pay. See, and you've got to believe. Come on down to the Adams Warehouse, 123 Beach Street, corner of South Street, just two blocks from Boston South Station. Open Monday through Friday till 9, Saturday till 6. Bank AmeriCard and MasterCharge card honored. Money back on any unaltered garment within 7 days. Okay, Mr. Detroit, let's take another call. Hello, WBZ, you're on the air. Our number's 254-5678. There you go,
61. Don't shoot, Larry. I'm just a security guard. Don't shoot!
I won't. I saved them, and 254-5678. I'm going to have three great calls to start the program off with. Hello, WBZ, you're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to speak to Larry Glick.
Yes, this is Larry. How do you do?
That's not Larry.
Oh, it's true. My name is Henry. Hi, this is Henry. What do you want to talk to Larry about?
Turn things. Turn your radio off, will you, please?
Okay, if you can turn the radio off, Joe, will you, please?
Turn the radio off and...
Yeah, we're going to turn the radio.
All right, and Larry likes you to speak clearly. He likes you to speak clearly and come to the point and no fooling around, okay?
Okay, fine.
All right, now I'm getting for you. Larry?
Yes, Henry? There's a call for you. Okay.
Hello. You're on the air. This is Larry Glick.
It's not Larry. I recognize this voice.
Henry, stop fooling around, will you? Henry, tell him it's me. It's I.
Well, this is Larry Glick speaking. Hello.
Hi, Larry.
Yes.
Listen, I believe you've been in Ireland.
That's true.
Well, this is a girl from Ireland calling you.
Well, where? From what county?
From County Louth.
County where?
Louth.
No, I don't think I was in there. I was in county...
It's 52 miles north of Dublin.
No, I was not there because I drove across Ireland through County Clare to Galway. I went that way and then south along the coast to County Clare.
Yeah, well, listen, I've been listening to you for years and years. And
thank you.
Many times I really tried to get you.
What's your first name?
Bridge. Bridge, not Bridge.
Bridge.
Everybody here calls me Bridge, like a bridge.
Bridge, just plain
Bridge. No, Bridge.
Bridge.
That's right.
Bridge.
And on Saturday night, I'm going to see you.
Oh, that's great. Bridge.
I've been looking forward to seeing you in person for many years.
Well, thank you. What do you do here, Bridge?
I'm a housewife.
Very good. Is your husband from Ireland?
Yes, he is.
And how long have you both been here?
I've been here 13 years, and my husband has been here about 16 years.
What's his first name?
Joe.
Huh?
Joe.
Joe and Breeze. Breach.
Yeah.
Breach. Now, you know, the people in Ireland were so friendly and kind. Now, I'm not saying that because you're from Ireland.
Right.
But when we were there, they just seemed to be very pleasant, hospitable people. I don't know whether... I looked like a very pleasant person myself, whether it was me or whether they...
Well, they are very friendly people.
They were, you know, like...
And they're very fond of American people.
Maybe that's it, because...
Maybe because America has been very good to them.
Because, you know, I went into a lot of pubs in Ireland, and they were all very, very friendly. Now, you go into a pub here, and it's altogether different. I know that it's a smaller country, and the people are more rural... But I don't think that the people in our rural country here, rural pubs here, are as friendly. I mean, you can walk up and talk to anyone.
I think eventually, you know, when people here get to know you.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I mean, if you walk into a saloon in some here, everyone is suspicious of you. They say, "What is he doing here? Who is he?" When I was in Ireland, you could sit down and to look at some of the guys, you wouldn't think that they knew what was going on politically, but then you get engaged.
They do. They're very politically minded people, you know.
I know that. I enjoyed that. I mean,
I'm very politically minded.
Well,
my husband laughed at me when it came to the situation of President Nixon. Now, I'm not a citizen, which I intend to be.
Yes.
And I could be at any time. But my husband is, and I'm the one that sent the telegram expressing my views and so on. And I think Irish people are very politically minded people.
Well, I know that they are, but they were just, I don't know. They were, look, can I tell you one story?
Yes.
I never drove on the wrong side of the road.
Right.
So I was driving, I was going to County Westmeath.
Well, that's very close to County Louth.
Oh, well,
you know that?
I was driving through there, and I was on the left side of the road, sitting on the right side of the car. And
yeah.
that's like patting your head and rubbing your stomach at the same time.
Right.
So I'm driving along, and all of a sudden, when we take a right turn, you take a right turn, and you stay on the right side of the road.
Yeah.
Well, here I am, driving on the left side of the road, sitting on the right side of the car, and I automatically take a right turn, and I get on the right side of the road, and what happens, as soon as I get over there, I see another car coming towards me, beeping his horn furiously. Beep, beep, beep. I said to myself, what's wrong with him? Is he cuckoo?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I remembered, and I swung over. I said, holy mackerel. But that was the only close call that I had.
Yeah, when you go on a rotary tour, it's a little difficult.
That's
you
right.
You're trying to begin. Because I was over there last fall, and I had my daughter, which is five, and right away, she noticed. you know, she says, gee, these cars are crazy. Well, she's an American kid.
Oh, listen.
And I tell her she's American.
Hey, Breed. Yes. You know what? Will you hold on for one second? I like you very much, and I have some people in the other room, and they want to play your tune.
Don't put your gun on.
No, no.
Breed,
I'm not what?
Did I
don't hang up, because they want to play a tune. Okay.
Mike,
let's go.
Now I'm nearly 76.
I had Brian Burke. Heart surgery. Another minute. The Blarney Stone is slimy when there's one another male. The only one can sing for you. What you want to know. Sing it, durr, 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 durr. You won't be on your own. Sing it, durr, 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 durr. For Bill and Blarney Stone. On guitar is Pat McCross, and he's the leader of the band. And also Sidney Harper is the greatest in the land. On piano is Willow Hagen, his talents are well known. And drummer Joey Glitter, they love the Blarney Stone. They can turra-lurra-lurra, you won't be on your own. Turra-lurra-lurra, for with the Blarney Stone. Come and listen to our music, and we hope it makes you glad. That we can hear to cheer you up, so please do not be sad. And if you have good trouble, sure, but soon be past and gone. We lift up your hearts and sing along, for we're the Blarney Stone. Sing it, durra, 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 you won't be on your own. Durra, 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 for we're the Blarney Stone.
Breed, you go dancing. Hey, fellas, thanks. That was really nice. Hey, Breed, did you like that? Breed?
Very nice.
Hey, very nice. Good show.
Well, you know, I probably see a lot of an English accent in mine, but it's because I come from so close to Northern Ireland.
Yeah, it almost sounded, that's why I said that.
Yes,
I
mean, I'm 52 miles north of Dublin and right. 53 miles south of Belfast.
Well, listen, I want to thank you very much, and the fellas like you very much, and maybe my wife and I will meet Breed and Joe.
Yes, we hope to see you Saturday night.
Okay.
And you know that song, you know, did you ever hear that song, Bridget McGrath?
Did I know it?
Yes.
My Uncle Solomon wrote it.
No, seriously.
No, I never did.
Did you ever hear it?
No.
Well, sometime I must send you that record.
Well, I'll be happy to hear it.
Because my last name happens to be the same, and Breed is the Gaelic for Bridget.
Oh, listen, do you speak Gaelic?
Kipping Beg, which means a little bit.
Do you know what glick means? Glick.
No, but I'm sure it's something corny.
No, it's Gaelic, and I keep forgetting all the time.
Oh, come on.
No, it means clever, that's what it means, clever.
Oh, that's right, you're
that's,
right.
That's right.
Glick, yes.
Glick means clever.
Fardlick means clever man.
But here I am, right before you, Breed.
Oh, I believe you.
I'll have to check my ancestry. I'll see you later, Breed.
Well, it's a pleasure listening to you, Larry. I've listened to you for many, many years.
Well, thank you, Breed.
And I tried to get you different times, but, you know,
you're
a very popular man.
That makes me feel good. Because I'm Glick, that's why.
That's correct.
So long, Breed.
Well, good night, now.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
Call for Action lends a hand. Every day on WBZ Boston Group Company Westinghouse Broadcasting. We have this one message. And we have Mark Roswell of the Hurricane Flyers standing by in Miami, and we'll be back in 60 seconds.
This is Red Auerbach. There's a special April tradition at Rodman Ford Sales in Foxborough. Every April, since they started in business 15 years ago, new car sales have exceeded the year before. This year, they know it's going to take something extra special. And here it is. If you buy a new car from stock before April the 19th, Rodman will not only match any competitive discount or rebate claim, but will give you, in addition, a $250 free bonus card to use as you please at Rodman's for service, parts, tires, accessories, car rentals. You can even rent a helicopter. That's right, an additional $250 that works just like cash. And get this, it's good any time for as long as you own your Rodman car. And if that's not enough to extend Rodman's April streak for another year, then I don't know anything about winning traditions. And you know better than that.
If anyone wants to get the good side of Red Auerbach, take him to a kung fu movie. He really likes them. I found out. I track people down. And he loves
He loves kung fu movies. He whacks the chair in front of him. If you sit in front of Red Auerbach at the movie, you'll have to get a whack on the left clavicle. All right. Now, in case you just tuned in, we're going down to Miami, and we're going to speak to Mark Roswell, who's president of the Hurricane Flies, University of Miami flying team. And there's a very nice letter, and he should be a very interesting person. Hello, Mark.
Oh, Larry, how are you?
Let me give you a round of applause first.
All righty, thank you.
I want to thank you very much for sending me this letter and giving me the story behind the story.
Well, I wanted to let you know one paragraph in that letter is very true. You're very popular down here, and your name is mentioned quite often on WIOD down here. I don't know whether you know any of the people over here.
Well, I do.
You do?
Yes.
I know at one time you had an interest in a station down here.
I don't want to talk about it. I lost it. It's gone.
Oh, okay. We won't talk about it then.
It's gone, Mark.
Okay.
Tell me a little bit about yourself, Mark, and then how you became president of the Hurricane Flies. Then we'll get on with the Bermuda Triangle and what happens to your aircraft when you fly over.
Well, Larry, I'm presently at the university. I'm going to school, going after a law degree. And I got into flying a few years ago up in upstate New York, near Rochester, where I understand Muck was from that same town.
That's his hometown. They asked him to leave, but they like him now that he's a star. Hey, listen, he has been with us for 2 weeks, and my engineer, John Detroit, said, who? Muck, who?
All right. Anyway, I got into flying, and I came down here to the university for that law degree, as I said, and just started in flying through to the Bahamas on weekends for my own pleasure. And in time, I got tied up with a small charter line, and we ended up taking provisions and passengers over to the Bahamas on weekends. And in the course of flying about 2 years, nothing too serious or too dangerous ever did happen until about, last May or so. A strange series of events, as I would like to refer to them, happened, and I have very little explanation for them. Some very odd things, some very odd circumstances on this one flight. I'll tell you a little bit about the flight. It was back, as I said, in May, and we were going from Miami to Cat Island, which you probably don't know is just east of Nassau. It's about an hour and a half flight out of Miami. And we were descending from our cruising altitude into Cat Island when we noticed a distinct cloud layer. It was sort of like a haze. And it's not too surprising to see that sort of weather formation here in the southeast in the Caribbean. But we had to descend through this layer to get into Cat Island. As I said, once we were inside this haze, the cloud took on a very bright yellow color, which was very surprising to us. It was very different. We had never seen anything like this before. And initially, the pilot, I was serving as a co-pilot at the time, we were both very, very startled. We'd never seen anything like this.
What kind of craft were you flying?
We were flying a Twin Beach, a Beach 99, which is a commuter. It holds normally about 9 passengers. So at the time, we did not have any passengers. We were taking provisions over there, some groceries and foodstuffs and that sort of thing. So it was a completely instrument-rated plane. We were both commercial pilots with instrument ratings. So we were trained to fly without reference to the ground. In other words, we were able to rely solely on our navigation instruments and flight instruments to stay straight and level without going into the drink or going into the water. But what was frightening at this point is our navigation instruments, our radio navigation, the systems began to oscillate. The receivers began to oscillate. We weren't getting true readings once we were inside this bright, hazy layer. A little further, after penetrating this layer, we found that our flight instruments also went on us. So now we had no reference to the ground. Our flight instruments were not telling us correctly whether we were straight and level or not.
What altitude were you at that time?
We were just, I'd say the layer started about about 6,500 feet, a little better than a mile high. And that's where the layer started. And above the layer, it seemed as though it ended about 3,000 feet. In other words, we'd be able to fly below it before approaching the island. But this proved to be incorrect. It was apparently right down to the ground, from 6,000 feet up right down to the ground. At this point, we didn't have the instruments to rely on. And we were both a little bit nervous on this, to say the least. We were a little, downright frightened, to tell you the truth. We were relying on our airspeed indicator to to keep a straight level, we felt if it went excessively high, we'd be descending, and excessively low, we'd be climbing. And the reasoning we were using here would just be to penetrate this haze. We figured it couldn't last too long. We didn't want to initiate a climb for fear we'd stall the aircraft and eventually crash. So we penetrated this haze, as I said, and it lasted about 2 or 3 minutes. Now, at our airspeed, which is a little better than 200 knots, about 200 miles an hour, this would be about 4 or 5 miles deep. So it wasn't all that large of a system.
Well, what about, did you have radio contact?
Well, out in the out islands over here, as they're called, at this particular altitude, we're not in control of the air traffic center, Miami Flight Center down here. We're proceeding on what we call a VFR flight plan, where we're visually contact with the ground, and we'd stay clear of clouds. Now, a haze is not considered a cloud, so we were able to penetrate this without violating any of the regulations. After about this 2 or 3 minute period getting back, the sun began to shine very abruptly, and it appeared as though we had left this layer. We're now able to make contact with the water. We did have some reference to the ground, which was reassuring after being through this for about 2 minutes. It seemed like a good long time. And only then did we speak to each other. We had been completely silent through this whole thing. We realized that we were about 1,000 feet above the water. In other words, we had descended about 5,000 feet or a mile down without realizing it. And in time, in a few minutes or so, I'd say probably a little less than a minute, our flight instruments began to return, but our radio navigation system did not. And it was a very surprising thing when we realized that all our systems, the circuit breakers, had blown, which we realized at that point that we had gone through some very strong energy field, something strong enough to blow these circuit breakers on the plane, which is surprising in itself. We have really no explanation for what happened to the flight instruments or the navigation instruments, why it happened at this point, whether or not it was associated with this cloud, but we were conscious of the fact that we did not become unconscious. We were in full control of ourselves and of the plane, and we were very sure that there was a very bright yellow, we were very sure of this color, yellow color to this cloud. Now, this is something that I've never seen except for this one time.
Can you hold on 1 second? I've got two messages I have to get in, okay?
Alrighty.
We'll be right back. Remember the yellow cloud.
VZ asks you to join CARE's Empty Plate campaign. Skip or reduce a meal and send the money you save to CARE. You can't send the food you save to the hungry, but CARE will use the money to buy that food for them. Please send your donation to CARE World Hunger Fund, Boston 02116.
Turn handsprings, ladies and gentlemen, because what has never happened before at Baron Anderson is happening now. Now every garment in the store is being marked down on a sale that Baron Anderson is running to bring 5,000 new customers into their store. Can you imagine men's suits of the quality that you'd find at Baron Anderson starting at $25? Yes, only $25. In addition, you can buy men's coats starting at $29. Savings, savings, savings. Remember, even at their former high prices, Baron Anderson was considered by many to have the greatest values in New England. And so their new low markdown prices are practically giveaways. Listen to this. Baron Anderson sport jackets start at $15 in this sale. Also, terrific buys in slacks, outerwear, leather jackets, leatherware, and coats. Baron Anderson, established in 1901, is located near the South Station at 745 Atlantic Avenue, corner of Beach Street, with the entrance on Beach Street. Open Mondays and Wednesdays, 9 to 8, other days including Saturdays, 9 to 5. Stop everything, men and women, and run to this once-in-a-lifetime Baron Anderson markdown sale of every garment at Baron Anderson. Okay, Mark?
Yeah, one thing that I wanted to, it was kind of very important to what happened to us here, is when we did finally exit this yellow cloud that I referred to, we finally determined our position. We realized that we had apparently moved to close to 20 miles.
Hey, can you give us the latitude and longitude?
Okay, this would be about, I've got a map right here in front of me. I can just barely make out the set of distance to me. This would be, I'll give you approximate mileage. This is about 100 and, why don't we say 200 miles east of Miami. And it would be about another 75 miles east of Nassau. This is where Cat Island is. It's very close to the coast of Florida. And maybe your listeners, be interesting to tell them that the Bermuda Triangle, the bounds of it, let you know, go up to Bermuda, over to Puerto Rico, and over to Miami.
Bermuda, Miami, and Puerto Rico.
Miami, right.
Right. Hey, you know, Mark, I'm flying down there with my wife next month. The 15th is the week of the 15th. So does this yellow haze ever come over the Miami International Airport?
No. Huh? No, I would like to let you know that there are commercial flights that pass through this area every single day. And to my knowledge, there has never been an incident of a commercial craft in this general Miami area ever running into a problem.
What about your... You said that all the indicators went haywire at this time. What about your airspeed indicator? Did that work, or did that go out too?
Well, the way that operates, Larry, is by the amount of air or the speed of the air passing a particular port on the aircraft. In other words, how fast the air is passing by the specific port,
right,
would tell you what your airspeed is. So it was one of the few instruments that we had to rely on. In fact, it was just about the only one. Well, a few things that are important here, some statistics that I was made aware of, that this body of water off of the Miami area is one of the most heavily traveled as far as boats and airplanes go. So it's logical that a lot of incidents or accidents could occur, and many people attribute them to outer space or some supernatural force occurring. And I personally don't put too much stock in that, but we do have some very unexplained cases here, specifically with the energy force. We wonder, how could our circuit breakers go? Why did these instruments fail on us? When we returned to Miami and had them checked out, there was no explanation at all. They operated perfectly. We did contact the federal authorities over in the islands. It was their airspace, and they did very little to investigate it. They felt that it was probably an abrupt air pressure change, which would explain the instrument failure, since many of them operate on air pressure. But as I said, why did the navigation instruments fail? We had no rhyme or reason for that.
Hey, let me ask you now. You're coming into Cat Island. Now, what happened? I mean, did you go down?
Well, we...
You didn't even finish that story. I'm waiting to hear. You're still up at 6,500 feet.
All right. We, when we finally did come out of that yellow cloud, we found that we were very close to the water. As I said, about 1,000 feet, as I recollect. And we really didn't know our position too well. We had no way of checking our position as far as radio navigation goes. So we just proceeded as though we were lost by making concentric circles. In other words, an increasingly large spiral of circles. We figured sooner or later we'd be bound to hit some sort of a land mass and make a landing there. Fortunately, we did get back, did make visual contact with Cat Island, and we landed without incident or any problem. It was a very frightening thing, to say the least, which I'm sorry to say I have no explanation for what did happen.
What about the pilot? What was his thoughts?
Well, he's since moved on to fly with a corporation over in California, and I just gave him a call the other evening to let him know that you had gotten in touch with me. And we began talking about the whole incident again. And I guess in a year's time, some of the frightening effect, the surprising effect has worn off, and we've really gotten interested in this energy source. We're really looking into it from a scientific standpoint of why did it occur. As I said, the frightened feeling is gone now, and we find it a quiz. It's a very quizzical sort of thing. So we're doing a little bit of investigation now, seeking an explanation. He's a very successful commercial pilot right now, as I said, on the West Coast.
Now, you're studying law, and you will develop an analytical mind. I mean, you won't buy a story if someone says we think that they were
ships from another planet or ships from under the ocean or from the center of the earth doing this thing to you. You won't buy that because you have an analytical mind. You say, where are they, who are they, and so forth. What's your opinion of these things? What's your opinion of what happened to the Navy aircraft during World War II that disappeared, and about ships in that area?
Well, I'll tell you, Larry, in the investigation and trying to find an answer to what happened to us and probably what happened to that same Navy craft you're talking about, we went and talked with some of the weather people, the Oceanic Weather Service people, and it was their contention, or at least a few people's contention over there, that there was a possibility of a weather system building up where there would be a very abrupt pressure change. It would be similar to a weather cell. Now, it was possible for this system to develop some way of, or excuse me, rather, develop an electrical charge. There's no idea how the system could gain this electrical charge, where this electrical charge would come from, whether it would come out of the ocean, whether there was some source in outer space. There's no explanation for it. But what I feel it probably was a weather system of sorts. Not one that we commonly know, or one that pilots encounter frequently. It certainly was not a frequent sort of incident that occurred to us. So I would say it's a weather system of sorts, but not one that we know of very much about.
Hold on a second. We have another message. Listen to this. I may see you down there in Miami, Mark.
Okay. Well, look.
Larry Glick, the popular WBZ personality and America's number one stage hypnotist, will again be featured in a fun evening this Saturday for one night only at Jimmy McEtrick's Beachcomber on Wollaston Beach Boulevard in Quincy. Now, in addition to the regular eight-act fun show, Larry provides an additional 90 minutes of excitement. Interested in quitting smoking? Well, Larry will show you how to stop. Would you like to know how it feels to win $10,000 in a horse race? Just step on stage, Larry will show you. Or perhaps you'd like to imagine yourself as the world's greatest dancer. Now, Larry Glick will show you how to be that, too. That's this Saturday at the Beachcomber, Wollaston Beach Boulevard in Quincy. Larry is a proven favorite there, and that's why he goes back again and again with this outstanding hypnosis demonstration. So advance reservations are suggested. For fun with Larry Glick at the Beachcomber, reserve now by phoning 479-8989. The number again is 479-8989.
Okay, John, let's get back with Mark Roswell. Mark?
Yeah.
How long have you been flying over the Bermuda Triangle?
Well, it's been about, since I've been down here, about 2 years.
Now, what else happened to you outside of that one situation?
Well, Larry, there are some very definite deviations that we have on our navigation systems over here. There seems to be an area near Bimini Island where our systems deflect. There seems to be a magnetic sort of field or magnetic pull in relation to one of these islands. It's a very definite thing that we've confirmed with several different aircraft, several different types of radio equipment, which would indicate that there is some electrical field or some buried metal, something that would attract magnetically to one of these instruments, one of these delicate instruments, in this area. We didn't have any other incidents that were really this earth-shattering that happened constantly or repeatedly. This was probably the one most frightening thing that did happen to me.
Now, what about these books? Do you ever read books like Bermuda Triangle by this fellow Berlitz or John
Berlitz,
Spencer?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, that Mr. Berlitz's book there was a very thought-provoking thing, and he kind of provoked a good deal of discussion among the pilots down here. I wonder some of the theories that are being put forth, whether they deserve much merit or not, as far as sources from outer space playing a role in this Bermuda Triangle. There are so many unexplained happenings, so many lost aircraft, so many lost ships. Just recently down here we had a ghost ship, a ship that was completely empty that just sailed into the Bahama waters. This is all about a month or so ago.
Well, what kind of a ship was it, Mark?
It wasn't a ship. It was my mistake there. It was more of a... It was a sailboat, motor-powered.
Oh, yeah.
And it was about a 40-footer. and there was no one aboard, no crew, and no explanation as to what had happened to them. Now, these are usually rather placid waters down here, Larry. We don't have tremendous number of storms, serious storms, for ships to overturn or people to be washed over, or severe weather where pilots might encounter a structural failure or a failure in their craft. So there has to be some disorientation that people are experiencing down here. This is my theory. Whether it's due to losing visual contact or being overcome by some other force, I don't know. But it seems that people are losing their contact with their senses. I think that's a good explanation for a lot of these crashes down here. What one of the things that prompted my letter to you was one of the guests you had on, oh, this is maybe 6 or 7 months ago on the phone. One of the listeners called in, and I think he was a pilot down here in South Florida as well. And he was talking about some of these unidentified flying objects, something that's semi-related to this. I don't know whether you recall the call or not.
And not offhand, Mark. Hey, Mark, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
I have a feeling that there are people out in the audience that like to call and speak to you. Now, how is your strength? Could you stay up another half hour after the news?
Sure, I'd be happy to.
Okay, now here's what I have to do. I've got another couple of messages here, and then I'm going to put on Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Remember the song Spinning Wheel?
Yep, sure do.
Okay, then I'll go out, get the 1 o'clock news, do a swell 5-minute newscast, and then we'll be back, and I'll ask Eddie to screen some calls for you.
All right, fine.
Okay?
Very good.
Okay, you can just stay on the line, and Eddie will talk to you, all right?
Good enough.
Folks, if you'd like to speak to Mark Roswell, who's president of the Hurricane Flyers at the University of Miami Flying Team, about the Bermuda Triangle, stay tuned right after the news. We'll be back. We have a couple of messages, and then we'll be back.
Well, the strength of any news operation is in the depth and the ability of the reporters.
There's an enormous amount of diversity on that staff.
These people go out and they dig up their own stories.
I guess the thing about them is that they really care about their work.
I think we have a very experienced staff that knows the city and has a real feeling for Boston.
I look for what the politicians don't tell us.
The important thing is that we want to be out there where the people are.
We've just got a bunch of real pros here. The reporters are good. They are good.
Eyewitness News, 6 and 11, TV4.
If you've been window shopping lately, you know that men's suits, sport coats, and slacks are selling for $125 to $175 and even more. Then you begin to wonder how the Adams Warehouse, that miracle-working outlet in Boston's Leather District, can sell such fine clothing for men at such incredible prices. Here's how. A famous chain in New York closes its doors, a well-known manufacturer is overstocked, and Adams Warehouse buyers are there with an open checkbook to make those amazing buys. You'll find a tremendous selection, thousands of suits in all sizes and styles, including the latest leisure suits on sale at $19 to $79 and none higher. Thousands of sport coats, sale priced at $12 to $49, none higher. Thousands of pairs of slacks at $4 to $17 and none higher. Many with America's most famous labels. And there's a tremendous selection for big men at prices little men ordinarily pay. See, and you've got to believe. Come on down to the Adams Warehouse, 123 Beach Street, corner of South Street, just 2 blocks from Boston South Station. Open Monday through Friday till 9, Saturday till 6. Bank AmeriCard and MasterCharge card on it. Money back on any unaltered garment within 7 days. If you'd like to speak to Mark Roswell, call us here, 254-5678, area code 617, right after the news.
Show you the colors that are real.
someone is waiting just for you. Spinning wheel, spinning true. Drop all your troubles by the riverside. Catch a painted pony on the spinning wheel. Spinning wheel fly.
Steve Smith anchors BZ's 4 to 6 News Watch. Join him for all the latest news weekdays on Radio 103. The Spirit of New England, WBZ, Boston Group, W, Westinghouse Broadcasting. It's 35 degrees in Boston. Tonight's low will be 32. I'm Streeter Glick reporting the 1 o'clock WBZ News. The South Vietnamese government reports crushing an attempt to overthrow the regime of President Nguyen Van Chiu Friday and says it arrested at least 7 persons. At the same time, Army Chief of Staff General Frederick Whalen left Saigon for Washington. President Ford dispatched Nguyen to South Vietnam last week for a first-hand look at the military situation. South Vietnamese government sources say a trusted Chiu aide was among those arrested for plotting the president's overthrow. The aide was fired by Chiu last year when he was suspected of being a Viet Cong agent, but later was cleared and rehired. The aide's chief duty was to act as a go-between Chiu and the South Vietnamese Congress. Cambodian Prime Minister Long Boret, who accompanied President Lon Nol in his self-imposed exile to Indonesia, denies speculation that he will remain abroad to set up a government in exile. Boret says that he plans to return to Phnom Penh shortly to head the government. Boret also pleaded for continued U.S. aid, saying to cut off U.S. aid would result in a bloodbath for Cambodia. The British government says that it's prepared to do its share to help the refugees in Southeast Asia. A spokesman says a check for $240,000 was given to the Red Cross to aid South Vietnamese children, and that another $1,800,000 was set aside for overall aid to Indochina. Sources in Cairo say Egypt is willing to resume the U.S.-initiated step-by-step diplomacy to work out an Egyptian-Israeli troop disengagement agreement. At the same time, the Cairo government renewed its call for the resumption of the Geneva Peace Conference on the Middle East. But sources say that it's highly unlikely that Secretary of State Henry Kissinger will agree to return to the Middle East again unless he is positive of success. The new government in Saudi Arabia is sending out diplomatic feelers hoping to get Henry Kissinger's peace shuttle back in operation. BZ's Joe Kamalek reports.
According to informed sources, the Saudi Arabian government under the new King Khalid is working hard in an effort to get Dr. Kissinger's personal Mideast negotiations restarted again. The sources say that the Saudi government was very disappointed by the breakdown of Kissinger's negotiations between Egypt and Israel. And here, the words breakdown or failure are not used in connection with what the Saudis prefer to call the setback in Kissinger's single-handed negotiations. It is not a failure, one official told me. It is merely the end of one stage of negotiations. Another stage will begin. There is no definite word yet on whether the Kissinger talks can be revived in their previous form. But strongly opposed to any growth of Soviet influence or dealings in the Middle East, the Saudis are not enthusiastic about the Geneva Peace Conference, where the Soviet Union will have a voice in the proceedings. Diplomatic sources say Saudi Arabia will endorse the Geneva Conference if no alternative is available, but in the meantime, the government here is making a strenuous effort to help revive the Kissinger role. This is Joe Kamalek, Group W News in Jeddah.
News of Bobby Fischer after this message.
Larry Glick, the popular WBZ personality and America's number one stage hypnotist, will again be featured in a fun evening this Saturday for one night only at Jimmy McGetrick's Beachcomber on Wollaston Beach Boulevard in Quincy. Now, in addition to the regular eight-act fun show, Larry provides an additional 90 minutes of excitement. Interested in quitting smoking? Well, Larry will show you how to stop. Would you like to know how it feels to win $10,000 in a horse race? Just step on stage. Larry will show you. Or perhaps you'd like to imagine yourself as the world's greatest dancer. Now, Larry Glick will show you how to be that, too. That's this Saturday at the Beachcomber, Wollaston Beach Boulevard in Quincy. Larry is a proven favorite there, and that's why he goes back again and again with this outstanding hypnosis demonstration. So advance reservations are suggested. For fun with Larry Glick at the Beachcomber, reserve now by phoning 479-8989. The number again is 479-8989.
Newly crowned world chess champion Anatol Karpov says that he's glad the title is back in Russia, but would rather have won it in a head-to-head match with Bobby Fischer. The International Chess Federation awarded the crown to Karpov by default Thursday when Fischer failed to meet a deadline set for the match. What happened, Bobby Fischer? And now the weather for Boston and vicinity. For the rest of this morning, storm warnings in effect along the coast, high wind warning in effect inland. Cloudy and windy with occasional light snow, possible accumulation of an inch or so. Friday, payday, April 4th, 1975, partly cloudy and windy with chance of a few snow flurries, high temperatures in the upper 30s. Friday night, variable cloudiness and windy, low temperatures in the upper 20s. Saturday, variable cloudiness and windy, high temperatures in the 40s. Probability of precipitation, 40% Friday, 20% Friday night. In Boston now, it's 35 degrees. Hi, sports fans, on the BZ scoreboard. In the National Basketball Association, Cleveland 100 and the Knicks 95. In the National Hockey League, Buffalo 4 and Boston 2. Chicago 6 and Kansas City 4. The Rangers 1, Philadelphia 1. In the WHA, New England 4, Quebec 1. In exhibition baseball, Minnesota 2 and Boston 1. Yankees 7 and the Mets 3. Do it again. That's it, sports fans. The top story of the hour. The South Vietnamese government reports crushing an attempt to overthrow the regime of President Nguyen Van Thieu Friday and says it arrested at least 7 persons. And that's the 1 o'clock WBZ report. I'm Streeter Glick, WBZ News. Boston ranks 5th in the nation in the incidence of TB, but TB can be detected. Boston Evening Clinic is offering TB skin tests. Call the clinic at 267-7171 for more information. Now back to the Larry Glick Show. And we're chatting with Mark Roswell, who is president of the Hurricane Flyers at the University of Miami Flying Team. And he's been telling us about the Bermuda Triangle. If you'd like to chat with him, he's in Miami at this time, having some great weather, and we're up in Boston with not-so-great weather. If you'd like to speak to him, our number is 254-5678, area code 617. Hello, Mark.
Yes, Larry.
Hey, Mark, what was the weather in Miami today?
I was just going to remark, I don't know how you Yankees could stand at 35 degrees. It was about, 85 today.
We had a storm up here.
No,
it was like
kidding.
A nor'easter. Oh, I'll tell you, it was horrible.
Oh, I couldn't take that weather.
Well, when you graduate law school, what law school are you going to go to?
Oh, I'm going to try for the university right down here.
All right. And then where would you want to practice?
Well, I'm very partial, surprisingly, to New England. I'd very much like to get up to Massachusetts.
Attaboy. You said the right thing, Mark.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, let's ask a couple of calls. We have a couple of calls set up for Mark. Okay, let's take the call, see who we have. Hello. Hello, neighbor community, if you can hear me.
Hello?
Hello. Yes, you're on the air with Mark.
Hi, how are you?
Fine. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Duxbury, Massachusetts.
Where?
Duxbury.
Duxbury, okay.
Yeah. I'm just very curious. I have been listening to this about the...
Oh, excuse me, sir. Would you turn your radio off, please?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Duxbury's a very nice area, right on the coast.
I love to hear my own voice, but...
Yeah.
I'm very curious. I fly that area about 5 times a month, and...
Are you a commercial pilot?
Yes, yeah.
What line are you with?
Well, I don't think that...
Okay, you don't have to mention it.
Yeah, I don't think it's appropriate.
All right.
But nevertheless, the passengers that I'm flying with have become very curious about it, and they say, of course, you go around it, which is not true. We fly through it with no problem. And it just becomes curious to me. This thing has become a myth in the last couple of years because of a book that Mr. Berlitz wrote, and there's no basis in fact for it.
What is your first name, pilot?
Peter.
Peter. Have you ever experienced anything that Mark experienced, where all your instruments go haywire?
Well, as a matter of fact, the only reason I called is he was talking about his altimeter's going wrong and all the rest of his instruments going wrong, and yet his airspan's going wrong, and yet the same pitot-tubes that serve his altimeter serve his airspeed indicator, and I don't understand that.
Well, you know, Peter, that's just let me interject. I was very, I was at loss for an answer myself. I've flown down here only for about 2 years, and it doesn't sound as though I've got the same experience as far as flight time goes.
Oh, I'm not trying to do that.
But, no, the point I was trying to make is nothing like this had ever occurred to me before, and I was very, very startled.
You talk about altimeter's going wrong, and yet the same pitot tube serves the airspeed indicator.
Right, this
would indicate... It's popping all the circuit breakers,
right,
which has nothing to do with your pressure instruments.
That's right. These are two distinctly separate systems, and this is the point that I was trying to bring out talking with Larry before.
Can they turn up your volume at all? Or
sure. Let me talk a little closer here. There was no explanation for it. There was a partial system failure. There was only part of our panel that would fail.
I mean, start talking about the navigational systems. Quite obviously, you can pop every circuit breaker in the airplane, and your navigational system will fail, but so will your other systems.
Well, it was referring particularly with our with the ADF. You're probably familiar when you run into
an area of thunderstorm in the area.
Right, at a time when you run into to thunderstorms, when you get that deflection of the ADF needle air. This is a sort of
how about your VORs?
With our VORs, we hit a very fast and abrupt oscillation and an unreliable
which can easily be attributed to a airplane going out of the runway.
Well, we were
every ILS system in the world.
I'll tell you, at the time we were running off of Bimini, and that's one of the strongest stations down here in the Caribbean.
It's the strongest VOR.
That's right, strongest VOR.
But the ADF will quit in a minute.
Well, the ADF isn't too reliable at the distance we were at from Bimini.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. You know, this is not the criteria. As a matter of fact, the route I'm flying now goes over Eleuthera and Bimini, and if those stations go off the air, if those with no claiming no or putting no onus on them, they don't maintain them the same way we do in the United States.
Right.
And I'll have the Eleuthera ADF on the air, and it'll quit.
Sure.
Well,
you know, Pete, just let me interject there. The thing that probably surprised me the most was this experience with the cloud layer, and I felt as though there was some connection between this brightly colored haze and the failure of our systems over here. As I said, we've somebody who's flown in this area before. You're used to different sort of weather systems. You're used to the intermittent radio navigation signals that you get, as you just brought out. So it's not a terrifically thing.
Hey, Peter.
Not traumatic at all.
Peter, what about that haze that Mark was talking about? Did you ever experience flying through a haze like that, where it may have started at 6,500 feet and went right down to surface?
You run into it, but and you also get varying navigational criteria. But nevertheless, I don't think that this is something that you can go into Baltimore and have the same thing. If an airplane taxis out on the runway, if the thunderstorm lets loose with some electricity, you're going to have ADS pointing at it.
You're going to have what?
You're going to have your radio compass is pointing at it.
Oh, yeah.
Momentarily.
Well, Pete, you know, I'm trying to discourage, to be very frank with you, some of these stories that we hear about outer space playing a role in this.
That's what I'm getting at.
I just don't think it's a
lot of
electricity. I
happened to be driving down from the airport in Boston when I heard this, and I have never called on one of these before, but my word, we can build things out of proportion when I think we should know better.
Have you read these, Peter, have you read these books like John Spencer's Limbo of the Lost and this fellow, what the heck's his name, the latest one?
Berlitz?
Yeah, Berlitz. And if you have, or if you discuss
it... I'll put it this way. I've gone through the first 10 or 12 pages.
Yes.
But I happen to be more pragmatic than that, and I think it's wonderful that they're written, and I think I have no rights about them being bestsellers, but I have people coming up to me now, and I have messages coming up saying we're going to go around the Great Triangle, or the Lost Triangle, or whatever it is. And it actually comes to the point now where it aggravates me, because it's ludicrous.
I've flown
in the Navy. I've flown through that whole area in the Navy, and now with an airline. And there's just no basis for it.
Now let me ask you this, Peter: how many hours have you had, or how many years have you flown any kind of aircraft?
Oh, it's 17 years. I guess.
17 years. Now, have you ever, in all the time that you've flown, have you ever seen a UFO or anything that might resemble a UFO that you couldn't pinpoint?
No.
How about, Mark,
there you go.
Have you ever seen a UFO?
No, I can't say I have. You know, Larry...
Hey, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to get one of these fellas, either Burles or John Spencer, on with you people, and that might be a heck of a good program.
Let me throw another philosophy at you.
Yes. Did, why would they speak to two workers sitting on a Mississippi River?
There you go.
Right.
Why would they talk to what?
Two people sitting on the shore of a Mississippi River.
Well, actually, we planned our landings on the moon much better. They'd land in the middle of Manhattan. Or perhaps they'd land in the middle of Boston and have the three of us, or maybe in Miami, and have an expert to talk to.
You fly Boston to Miami?
No, I get out of San Juan and I fly right through that triangle, quite honestly, do it, as I say, four or five times a month.
Hey, you know what I'd like to do, Peter, if it'd be okay with you, one night, at your convenience, get one of these fellas, maybe either Burles or John Spencer. I know him, and he's a fine person, but there's no way. I just fly as a passenger. And, I myself, when I go up there, I have confidence in the aircraft and the pilot. And it's a funny thing, you know, this is really interesting, too. Last year, every year we go down to the Caribbean on the Queen Elizabeth II. And so many people, when they find out that they're in the Bermuda Triangle, some of them become upset. They would say, we're in it right now.
That's what I'm getting at. This is fairly recent, and the result of these books just about. Quite frequently now, and 5 years ago, there's not something that came up.
Well, Peter, would you be interested in one night, maybe next week, if we can line up one of these people, just come on with them maybe for 15 or minutes or a half hour or so and discuss the pros and cons of it?
Sure, I would.
Okay, that's great. All right, well, listen, was there anything else that you wanted to say, Mark, to Peter?
Yeah, I just wanted to put 2 cents in for Pete's benefit and my own. A lot of these books that have come out, Pete brought out the fact that they are very fairly recent, and many of them seem to be to exploit the situation, try to be a business venture. I think it's about time that the truth was brought out. Things finally did. We did get to the bottom of the barrel on these things. And I'd like to instill a little bit of confidence in the passengers that fly these routes that they do normally have the best of equipment. And I know these pilots, I know myself, the training is very good. And a pilot's not going to jeopardize
a passenger or his life or his safety. So if there's anything out there, believe me, the pilot is trained to take care of you.
Oh, yeah, the other part is that the passengers are not that naive, really. They think it's interesting, but by the same token, I really think they do put a good deal of credence in our training and expertise, and I appreciate what you're saying, but even though I've sent back charts saying, yeah, we're going right through it,
right.
And we arrive in San Juan right on schedule, and they get off the airplane laughing and saying, so, what a fool I was.
Right.
Really, they do. They're not that.
Well, just the number of times that I've had people refuse to fly with us, and as I said, I was with a small charter line, just on account of this Bermuda Triangle, and I tried to get across to them that we had never had an incident, never had an accident, or a...
Oh, our claim is we go above it.
Well, certainly, it sounds like you're way above it. We normally are below 10,000 feet here.
Well, listen, gentlemen, I want to thank you both for being on with us. Peter, would you stay on the line and give Eddie your number? And we'll call you and maybe set up next week at your convenience, okay?
It'll have to be. I'm not sure what my schedule is.
Okay. Thank you very much, Peter.
Okay.
Thank you, Mark.
Okay, Larry, thank you.
Mark, thank you very much.
Can I turn my radio back on now?
Huh?
Can I turn my radio back on?
Yes, right. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks very much, both. Bye. Gentlemen, thank you very, very much. That was Peter, commercial pilot, and Mark Roswell, president of Hurricane Flyers, University of Miami Flying Team. WBZ time, 22 minutes after 1 o'clock. We have this message, and then we'll take some telephone calls. It'll be open calls. And then we have this thing coming up. In case you've just tuned in, we had this earlier. It doesn't happen too often, but it happened to Bruce and Carol Ownby, owners of the Bangle Tree. It's a jewelry shop in Bend, Oregon. A repentant burglar has returned over $7,000 in uninsured jewelry, enabling the owners to stay in business. And the burglar has promised to pay for $1,400 in jewelry already sold and for damage incurred during the break-in. So we spoke to Carol Ownby a little while ago. This just came in. And Eddie said that she said she'd come on. So we have this message, and then we'll take some telephone calls. Would you believe that Baron Anderson would ever run a sale, marking down every men's suit, sport jacket, slacks, and leatherwear and raincoat, when their values are already considered by many to be the greatest in New England? Believe it, because Baron Anderson wants to attract 5,000 new customers into their store. And you'll certainly believe it when you find men's suits starting at $25. When you find men's coats and top coats starting at $29. Yes, $29. And hear this. Men's sport jackets starting at $15. And slacks. They have beautiful slacks starting at $3. Terrific supplies of outerwear, leatherwear, and rainwear. Attention, men of New England. Baron Anderson, a great name in men's clothing since 1901. The House of Values is giving the greatest values of their life in this every garment markdown sale. Located near South Station, Baron Anderson is at 745 Atlantic Avenue, corner of Beach Street. Entrance is on Beach Street. Open 9 to 8 Mondays and Wednesdays and 9 to 5 other days, including Saturdays. Men, head for Baron Anderson and great, great savings in men's clothing today. Baron Anderson. I'll tell you, that kid Eddie is really working fast. Carol Ownby is on the line. That's the story we just read. Let's see if we can get the story behind the story. Hello, Carol.
Yes, hello, Larry.
Now, let me give you a round of applause first for coming on with us. This is an unusual story. I mean, a repentant burglar. Tell me the story behind the story. What sort of a place do you have, and how did this happen, and why did he return the jewels?
Okay, well, we have a small handcrafted jewelry store, and we do, all of our own jewelry making. And we cut our own stones for the jewelry, and... I guess it's gotten really popular. And the boy, is a young man, rather. And evidently, after he had broken into the store and stolen the jewelry, it was about $8,500 worth, he had come in contact with other friends and had found God and decided that the thing for him to do is return it and try to make good on the things, and this is what he's done.
Now, how did he get in touch with you?
He knew who we are, of course.
I mean, did he contact and said, hello, this is Charlie the burglar?
Well, he called up and said this is somebody that wants to apologize.
How,
How long did he call you after he committed the crime?
About 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks.
And you say he found God, eh?
Yes.
Now, did you, when you reported this to the police, did you report this also to the police that he called?
Oh, yeah. It's all, you know, everything's above, you know, what's going on. Everybody knows what goes down.
Now, how did he make the return? I mean, did he do it in person? Did he walk right into the little jewelry shop and say, Hi, Mrs. Ombi, here's your jewels?
Yeah, he didn't quite walk into our store, but we met with him and he gave us some of it.
Where did you meet? Where was the pickup? Where did you meet with him?
What?
Where did you meet? In the store, at a restaurant, or where?
No, we met at another friend's house.
Oh. Did you tell the police that you were going to meet him?
At the time, no.
And why did he say he did it?
He said he was very drunk and he had known that jewelry like this sells good, and he thought, well, that's an easy score, and that's the one to do. And so I can't really read his mind either, but I can tell you that's what what he had said to us.
How old a boy was he, or a man?
A young man in his 20s, early 20s.
Did he work?
Yes, he has a job.
To whom did he sell the $1,400 worth of jewelry?
I am not aware whether he said something about some of them given away, where it is, I don't know.
Oh, but he said he's going to pay you that back.
He would pay it back.
Now, what did the police do in a case like that? He committed a crime. Now, do you have to press charges?
Well, I don't have to press charges. A crime is committed.
Yes.
And it's still a felony, and he has to make his way with the law, you know, too. It's not, you can't give something back and say, that's it, you know. I'm sorry, but you have to face the law, too.
Right. Now, do the police know who he is?
At the moment?
Yes.
There are some things I can't say.
Oh. The reason why, my name is Glick. I'm with the FBI.
Okay.
Oh, you can't tell us everything, eh?
No, I'm not going to tell you everything.
I'll be a son of a... Now, how come you didn't have insurance on all this jewelry, Carol?
Well, for one thing, we had just started the store in this new location. We put out a lot of money for that, and we asked about insurance premiums, and the cost was very high.
Oh.
The cost for $10,000 worth of coverage is almost $500.
Hmm.
And we couldn't afford it.
What, is it a high-risk area?
Well, it's not a high-risk area. It's a small town, and it's...
Where is Bend, Oregon?
It's in the central part of Oregon.
What's the population?
About 15,000.
But is he a local resident, this fellow that broke in?
I don't know.
Oh, are you a local resident?
I am, yes.
Is your husband a local resident?
Yes.
Does he work in the Bangle Tree Jewelry Shop?
Yeah, he works he's a silversmith.
Oh. Now, what are you going to do now that... After the shop has been broken in, are you going to take out insurance now?
I don't know. We're putting our own burden on system.
You what?
And I still don't have the money for the insurance.
Oh, how about a big German Shepherd in the store?
Well, we have a nice Doberman.
In the store?
Yes.
Well, you're really lucky. You know that. That this fellow found God.
We feel that it's one of those things that doesn't happen very often.
No, it's very unusual, as a matter of fact. That's why it's in the news.
I didn't realize it was going to be this kind of a news item at all, you know.
Yeah, this came over the news tonight. I was just looking at it, and I said, by Joe, we have to call and get the story behind the story. Carol, would you invite this fellow to your home for a Sunday afternoon dinner?
My house and talk to him, and if a man is really repentant and wants to make something in his own life, I'm